strength will lift you high.
Let's grab our Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 3, great song, Lead Me to the Rock. Let's stand together, 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3. On Sunday nights for several weeks, we've preached on helping our men to know how to love their wives. In counseling appointments with marriages, I will ask, recent months I've asked this, did you watch your father love your mother? Or was there a loving family? And they'll say no. And sometimes I'll look at one of the spouses and say, not to get him off the hook or anything. I say, how do you think this guy knows how to love you? We got to teach him. Okay, Hollywood's not going to teach you to love him, her. Okay, Hollywood's full of baloney, some other things. And we taught 2 weeks, Sunday nights, on how to love your wife. Okay, so love your wife as Christ loved the church, a sacrificial. Well, how do I do that? And finding out what is it your wife. And by the way, wives, you might want to just, instead of saying love me, teach him, and don't belittle him. Teach him. This is what I want. I like for you to say nice things to me. And then men, you say, "Wow, I'm just not like that." Well, learn to be like that. Okay, work at it. Work at it. Loving is looking at the object of your love and finding out how they want you to love them, as long as it's right. In this area, actually, I had prepared this. Before I knew my brother preached Sunday morning when I was on vacation, Sunday morning on God's love for us, and then Sunday night on our love for him. And so this is like part three, but we didn't put it together, is how to love God. Okay, how to love God. Not everything that, and what everybody says, I love God, is really, I love God. Okay. A lot of husbands say, I love my wife, and the wife will say, he's not close, okay? So this is going to be 8 points. I'm going to have to go through them really quickly this morning, and how to love God. You remember, you old-timers, I said the Filipina Five. I know some of you are thinking about the Jackson Five. Cody, I just read you, okay? Remember Donny Osmond. Okay, now those of us that were in the world back then, we didn't listen to Donny Osmond, okay? Okay. I won't tell you what Ryan Rawl listened to, but he had a song, Puppy Love. What was it called? Okay. Puppy Love. None call it Puppy Love, was it? All right, nobody. I'm just trying to catch you. Now, look, we shouldn't give God puppy love, okay? We should give him the love that he wants. You say, well, how do you find out how to love God? It's right here in the book. And so we'll look at a few verses. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, and I just sort of want to throw this out as an introduction. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 3. 1 Kings 3, verse 3. We're going to look at a few verses here before we pray and sit down. We're going to look at quite a few verses this morning. How to love God. 1 Kings 3, 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Wouldn't it be neat if that was your testimony? By the way, we're all sort of marked. Okay? We're all sort of marked. But at this time, by the way, this is where before Solomon compromised. Solomon later on compromised and didn't love the Lord. But there was a time when the testimony of Solomon is he's a lover of God. Look back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Nice to have Brother Myers back and Mrs. Myers, vacationers. The Panetas are back. Nice to have them back. Vacation's almost over. And Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 5. Of course, this is the Ten Commandments. Let's look at 1. Verse 5 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. These are graven images. Why? Excuse me. For the Lord thy God am a jealous, or for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Look at this. God's jealous. By the way, every man is jealous. Oh, my husband's jealous. I had one lady tell me, she confessed to me, she said, I've been on a chat line with another guy. It was years ago. She didn't go to our church anymore. And she said, I met him. She just came to confess. By the way, sometimes I feel like I'm a Catholic priest. I've had people confess murders and all kinds of stuff. And she said, I've been on a chat line. I developed a relationship, and I met a guy. She said, we did nothing. We just kissed. I'm like, did you tell your husband? She said, I did. I said, what did he say? She said, well, not that big of a deal. That guy's had too many drugs. We know what jealousy means, right? God's a jealous God. God wants our affection. And let me say this. God wants first place. By the way, that's why when we say giving and tithing, and I'm not teaching a tithe this morning, you don't tithe if you can afford it. The first 10% of your income goes to God. Before taxes. You know, I couldn't tithe this month. Wrong. He wants the first fruits. Okay? That's one. That's not the only way. We won't even talk about that this morning. That's one way to show your love to God. If you don't give God your first fruits, it shows a lack of love. Look at Exodus chapter chapter 34. We'll pray and then in just a moment and then be seated. You say, well, I don't worship other false gods. Listen, our false gods. If someone stayed home today to watch the Olympics, that's their false god. I like the Olympics. You know, some of those girls aren't dressed right. A lot of the girls aren't dressed right. Okay? A lot of the guys aren't dressed right. My soul. Anyway, I won't go there this morning. Exodus 34, verse 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images. Exodus 34, verse 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is what, class? Jealous. Say it again, please. Jealous. Is a jealous God. You know, when we were kids, Brother Myers and I grew up, you know what they used to call him? Stevie. Stevie. You know what they used to call me? Joey. They used to call my brother Dummy. No, I'm just kidding. I call Charlie Chuck. Some of our Asian people, we can't pronounce their names. I make up names for them. Chan Rancey. Thanks. When Chan Rancey first came to our church, I said, "Your name's Billy." Just call him Billy. Mickey Chuen. His real name is Elaine. He said, "Where'd he get Mickey?" I called. No one could. His name's Mickey. Do you know one of, by the way, we all have different, Brother Myers is an assistant pastor. He's a father. He's a dad. He's an uncle. He's a grandpa. He looks like a grandpa. I don't look like a grandpa. Okay. Do you know one of God's names? Jealous. You can go to God and say, "Oh, jealous." Yeah. You say, why does God have one of his names as jealous? He's trying to communicate. He doesn't want anybody or anything to be in front of him. That's our God. So that's just by way of introduction. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We don't love you like we should. I pray in just the short amount of time that we have that we'll learn to love you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Myers and I, when we were in college, we knew a guy. His name was Al Hyslop. Brother Al, married, they were twins, right? So he married one of two twins. And I didn't know this, but one watch night service, we were at the watch night service, thousands of people there, and a lady got up, short, later on to come to find out it was Al's mother-in-law. She got up about this tall, an Italian lady. She got up, and it was a watch night service. It was a New Year's Eve service, and just people, we probably had about 15, 20 minutes or something, just people raised their hand and blessed the Lord for the last year. This lady, do you remember her name? You know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah. She raised her hand. She got up. I'd never seen her in my life. She got up. They said, "Okay, yes, ma'am." She said, this past year, and she probably was in her 40s, maybe mid-40s, maybe late 40s. She had two daughters in Bible college, so maybe late 40s. She looked pretty young, though. And she got up and she said, "I lost my husband. My husband died. I think it was the past year." She said, "But now I'm married to Jesus." And she went on for about 3 or 4 minutes, seemed like, maybe just a couple minutes, to talk about how much she loved Jesus. And when she sat down, my soul was stirred. And I said, "I want to love God the way she loves God." She didn't get bitter. Like what Brother Albert said, I don't know if he said it or texted or emailed it or something. He said, "Look," this was before his son went into surgery with his open heart surgery. He said, "Whatever happens, God is still good." We love him because he first loved us. We should serve him out of love. Now, how do we really love God? This is not an order of sequence of importance, but here's step number one. The first step to really loving God is to recognize how important it is for us to love him. Look at Mark chapter 12. It's important. This is important to God. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 28. Loving him is important. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all,'" with how much class? "All thy heart." By the way, it's going to be intentional if it's all your heart. Most people are loving God half-hearted, quarter-hearted, 20th of the heart. He wants all of our heart. He said, "All thy heart, all thy soul." The soul is a mind, will, and emotion. Soul starts with the mind. So how do you love God with your soul? That, by the way, it's a whole sermon itself. You fill your mind and saturate your mind with God's word, and you'll love God with your soul. And then your will, and then your emotions. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. Now look, let me just briefly, most of us, we could almost quote that verse. You say, why, how do we love God? First thing is, we just need to understand it's important. It's important to God. Loving him is important. He said that's the most important of all that's in this Bible. The most important is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Okay, number two. The second step to really loving God is to recognize the reward of truly loving God. Please get this. It's important. I tell the preachers and the teachers in the college, I teach them, when you preach, you have to have one of two or both of these elements. One, you have to teach, you have to have in your message the fear of loss or the desire, and or the desire of gain. We are all motivated. In other words, God says, I'll bless you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't just say, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He says, you'll be blessed, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. God knows how we're wired. And so what does he do? He says, listen, if you'll love me, you'll not regret it. If you'll love me, I will bless you. Look to first. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Look real quickly. We're going to look at a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The second step to really loving God is to recognize the reward of truly loving. There is a reward. If we set our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength to love him, he'll reward us. Don't think giving everything to God is a ripoff. You're listening to the wrong people. This God thing is everything. Everything. You're a new Christian. Welcome to God's family. God says if you give him everything, by the way, he gave you everything, so he asks us. He doesn't make us. He asks us if we would willingly give everything. He says, I'll bless you for it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's just look at verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look up here, please. You know what he's saying? This is pretty simple. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. It's simply saying this. You truly love God, you're going for a wonderful ride in life. Not saying there's not going to be heartaches. That's just a part of life, man. We're in a sin-cursed world. But he said, listen, and I've said this before. When I went to Bible college, I didn't know what I got a bachelor's of science in pastoral theology. Then I got a doctor's degree in divinity. So what does that mean? I'm not sure, but I think that means I'm divine. When I went to Bible college, I didn't understand degrees. I didn't come from a family that pushed education. They weren't against it, but they didn't badger me. I didn't understand I was ignorant. I went to Bible college. I didn't go to get a 4-year degree. I didn't go to get a pastor. I didn't go to be in a ministry. I was not. I now understand that I was called to preach, but I didn't know at that time I was called to preach. Actually, I didn't find out I was called to preach till last year when Bob Gray came here. Bob Gray Jr. found out, I guess I was called to preach. Be nice, you know, now I've been pastoring for 24 years, he sort of clarified it for me. You say, why did you go to Bible college? I didn't go because, you know, the pastor said, let everybody go 1 year. I'm not against that. I'm for it. We teach it. Go 1 year, see what happens. I went for one reason. I wanted to love God more. That's it. I stumbled there my first semester. I was broke. had a car and a motorcycle. I was broke. I borrowed a couple hundred bucks to fly to go to Bible college. I ended up selling my motorcycle to pay a bill, one of my school bills. I sold my car. My pastor said, do whatever you can to stay in college. But here's the point. And I don't have a perfect life. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect boss. Don't say anything. But I got a wonderful life. If I died today or if I was diagnosed with there's a pastor that just recently, he was in his early 60s in ministry, and about three months ago, he's diagnosed with a brain tumor. Boom, he just died. Now look, I don't want a brain tumor. None of us like the C word, okay? Okay? Nobody wants a heart attack, right? Nobody wants a stroke. If I died today, I'd say I had a wonderful life. You say, Pastor, what do you attribute it to? Are you a good guy? Do you have a good upbringing, a good wife? And I got a good wife and all that. But I'll say, if I pinpointed it, it's because when I was 17 years old, I made a commitment. I want to love God. I didn't make a commitment to succeed in life. I didn't make a commitment to have a career. I didn't make a commitment to be a preacher. I didn't make a commitment to build a church. I didn't make a commitment to see a bunch of people saved. I didn't make a commitment Southeast Asia, the 1040 window in church. No, I made a commitment to love God. How do you love God? You have to understand there is an incentive. Because, listen, I'm going to get to some of these points. If you're going to love God, some of you got to quit doing some things you're doing. I'm just telling you. You say, why? Because if you love God with all your heart, you can't do everything. I'm not against the gym, working out. You can tell I do, all right? Okay? All right? I'm getting ahead of myself. You can't go to the gym for 3 hours a day and then watch 3 hours of ESPN, then be on the internet chatting with everybody in the world. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not talking about even evil, sinful things. Okay? You know, and then, you know, study how to be beautiful. Brother Charlie, you've obviously done that. It's not working. Then, you know, you be a health food nut. You got to check out. Everything is organic. I'm not against organic. I got organic stuff on my desk right now. But you can't study organic and know, you know, every little leaf that's not good for you and every water that has the wrong type of molecule. You can't do all that and love God. You say, what? I had my carrot juice this morning. Just before I came here, I had spinach salad. You say, how did this taste? Horrible. You say, what'd you have on it? It was spinach and apple cider vinegar was my dressing. Straight. And olive oil, apple cider vinegar on the spinach. You say, how was it? It was horrible. This was horrible. You say, why do you eat? I eat to live. I don't live to eat. By the way, I do live to eat every once in a while. Okay? But when you are faced, like, what am I going to drop in my life? If you're going to love God, you're going to have to drop some things. Some of us are working two jobs so we can have two of this, and so we have three of this. Look, nothing wrong with working two jobs. But you only have so much heart and so much time. And so when you make that decision to truly love God, you have to, you really, and God puts it out there, says, listen, if you love me, I won't shortchange you. If you love me, I'll show you things you've never seen before. If you love me, you say, well, I really love God. No, a lot of us, we really think we love God, but really the truth of the matter is we didn't love God. And some of the decisions we made were not based out of a love for God. They were very, and I understand it's hard to weigh the motives of man, but a lot of them were selfish. And God is looking for some Christians that will say, I'll give my life no matter what, and I'll love God until I die. So loving God, you have to understand there is a blessing. Number three, the third step to really loving God is we must love him with all. Can you say all? All of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind. Listen, if you love God, let me just say this. You're going to be a little fanatical. By the way, there's fanatics in everything. Watch these Olympics. These Olympics are fanatics. Do you know what they do? Check out their routine to get in the Olympics. They start them at 4 years old. Some of these kids, yeah, my little kid, he was swimming at two. They just throw him in the water. Okay? I don't want to be a fanatic and be weird. But if you truly love God, people are going to say, he's different. You say, why? Because God says he wants all. He wants what's going on in the house, what's going on outside the house, what's going on in the backyard. He wants what's going on in the car. Hey, he wants what's going on in your CD player. All your DVDs that are there, he wants all that. Don't leave me up here all alone by myself. He wants everything. Your heart, your mind, your soul, all your strength. He wants everything. He wants your vacations. I mentioned yesterday, okay? I thank God our people go on vacation. They go to church. They read their Bibles. They stay faithful. They witness. But let me say this. It's a little disappointing when you hear, and we're not here to gossip or anything, but every once in a while, Brother Myers will tell me stuff. People leave 100 miles away, and they compromise. God wants you to love him 100 miles away. He wants you to love him 1,000 miles away. He wants you to love him at work. He said, I want all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. He wants everything. Everything. He wants your hobby. He wants your sports. He wants your body. Hey, look, if you're good, and I just mentioned, if you're going to love God, you're going to probably have to give something up. You can't have a bunch of hobbies and follow all the sports. I said, when I was about 7 years old, I knew the Chicago Cubs batting lineup. I knew their batting averages. Listen, first base was Jim Hickman. Second base was Glenn Beckard. Shortstop was Don Kissinger. Third base was Ron Santo. The catcher was Randy Huntley. They had a couple pictures, Holtzman, Ferguson. The left field was Billy Williams. Right field was, I forgot. And the center field was, there was a guy, his name was Patino, the Italian guy. Remember that? You say, who? I still like the Cubs. You say, who's first base? I don't know. There's one guy on their team, his name's Castro. I think he's a good hitter. Who's the guy they got from the Yankees? Soriano. Those are the guys. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. I can't follow the Cubs like I could when I was six. You say, why? I don't have time. You say, I like baseball. I don't love it. That could be my besetting sin is sport. I really like, I'm very competitive. Man, the Olympics, it's like I'm competitive. I like that stuff. But I can't sit there and love God and watch 6 hours of Olympics. And then, by the way, we wonder why we read our Bibles and we go, Man, all you're thinking about is, are the Dodgers in first place or second place? All right, I better get off of this one. We're not talking about sinful things. If you're going to give all your heart, you only have so much heart. We only have so much heart. Number next. So we said, understand the importance, understand the reward, and understand that we need to give him all. Can you say all? Man, God, if you get anything this morning, you've been around here a while, you're a new Christian, God wants everything. Say, well, does he want my clothes? Yeah, he wants your clothes. He wants the wallet in your clothes. He wants the guy that's wearing the clothes. He wants the heart in the guy. Number four, the fourth step, if we really want to love God, is we must keep his word to show our love to him. Keep his word. Look at John 14, real fast. John 14. Keep his word. Say, what do you mean? Obey him. John 14. Verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Verily, John 14, I hear pages turning. I'll wait. Some of you guys in the front, right? That's pretty good, Raul. You're wasting everybody's time. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Look at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my what, class? Okay. You ever done this? By the way, I'll never forget, when talking about the Dodgers, I had a friend, and his dad, back when we, how many remember when you grew up to play high school baseball or football, you had to cut your hair? How many remember those days? We had to cut our hair. They wouldn't let you have long hair. This guy, by the way, the New York Yankees still have a dress. I don't even think you have facial hair on the New York Yankees. Anybody know? It used to be like that. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, you know, church has standards. Listen, New York Yankees has standards too. Okay. You know, whatever. Where were we going with that? Oh, my friend, my friends, Randy Heartless. You remember those guys? Mike Heartless, Randy Heartless. They didn't have much heart. But anyway, the mother was dating this guy, and the Dodgers gave him some, I don't know, it was a minor league contract or something, and they said this: if you come play for our farm team, you have to cut your hair. He said, I won't do it. Start Treva, I forget her other name, became Heartless, and Treva started dating him. Make a long story short, she said, if we're going to get married, he proposed to her. She said, if we're going to get married, you have to cut your hair. Guess what? He did. You say, why? He loved her. Okay? Let me say this. If you love God, by the way, the Bible isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts. And any of the don'ts are things that God knows is going to hurt you. And the do's, God knows is going to help you. God's not going to try to take things away from you that are good for you. But if you love him, he says, listen, keep my commandments. I'll never forget. By the way, be careful. We think loving God, people, yes, hallelujah. Be careful about your Christian television. Not everybody on Christian television loves God. Okay, and I'm not here to just, but, you know, hallelujah. I'll never forget, we had a very nice couple in our church, and really they, anyway, Brother Coomley said, wow, they're new. This couple, especially the lady, really loves God. Just the way she's, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He didn't know that I knew they were living together and they weren't even married. They didn't love God very much. Loving God is not, by the way, God wants us to be verbal. Well, God wants us to praise him. God wants us to thank him. He wants us to be active. Love is an action word. But if you love him, keep his commandments. Amen? Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Feelings come and go. Again, that's why I like to study our Baptist forefathers. These were people that just, listen, man, they had horrific, horrific trials, but they would not baptism. Many of them had their heads cut off, and the people that were persecuting them and throwing them in prison, John Bunyan, they said, just take this preaching license. He said, I can't. They said, we'll first of all, they didn't want to throw him in prison, but they did, and they kept him in prison. You say, why? Because John Bunyan said, listen, it's not about feelings. God says in these certain areas, don't compromise. If you love him, keep his commandments. Number five, the fifth step to really loving God is we must love what he loves. And let me say this, hate what he hates. Let me say this, please get this. You can't love God if you don't have a hate life. We live in the lukewarm Laodicea church era, where everything's feely-wheely. By the way, I love to feel good. I like to feel good. Okay? Man, I like to be hungry and eat a steak. Forget the salad. How about a steak with a Coca-Cola? With a potato? With that much butter on it. All right, I figure I wake some of you gluttons up. But we must love what he loves and hate what he hates. God has a hate life. Do you know that? You look, we don't have time to do it this morning. You look in the Bible. By the way, there's a group out there. Some of them are the gay community, and then some of them are Christians. They call Christians like us haters. We are. We hate sin. We don't hate the sinner. If you're homosexual today, we love you, God loves you, and you need to get saved. And you need to get your sins forgiven. It is not an accepted lifestyle to God. It is not an alternative lifestyle. It's like saying adultery is an alternative lifestyle. No, it's not. By the way, you know who usually gets upset? People that have a cousin or an aunt. Listen, I have a relative who's gay. And I love that relative. And I'll give that relative. It's one of my aunts. I'll give that relative a hug. But guess what? We don't tolerate it. Okay? And we don't sit there and just say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You say, why? Because God's word says it's not okay. The Bible calls it an abomination. And you say, what is an abomination? The definition of an abomination is, and I just read it this past week in the 1870, whatever, Webster's Dictionary. Abomination means extreme hatred. Look up in your concordance the word abomination. It's throughout the Bible. A lot of things are abominable to God. What does that mean? God hates it. We ought to hate the same things that God hates. The Bible says, and you don't need to turn there because of time, Psalms 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. I see Maria Ledwich, and she won't mind me saying this, and she was on a train with your in-laws, right? The whole family, and this whole kiss in at Chick-fil-A and all that stuff. She was on the Blue Line, I think it was, and two girls got up, and they were making out on the train. You say, what did Maria do? She got up and said, stop it! Do your parents know what you're doing? Now, I don't know if we would all do that. I'm not saying everybody ought to do it. But I'll tell you what, if I was there, I ought to have said amen. And I would have probably given her $25. There used to be a time where the pulpits used to preach righteousness, the hatred of sin, and now it's like everything's nice. That's why our country is becoming pagan. Ye that love the Lord, Psalms 97:10, hate evil. Don't hate evil people, hate the evil. Hebrews 1:8 and 9. Jesus' testimony about him. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Do you know how you can tell how much you're filled with the Holy Spirit? By how much you hate evil and love righteousness. I believe in praying and emptying yourself and God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Your hatred for righteousness and embracing and love, I mean hatred for evil and loving righteousness determines how much of the Holy Spirit you have, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fifth step to really loving God is we must love what he loves and hate what he hates. By the way, he loves the church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave him. By the way, this is God's church. A real church is God's church. We should love it and pray for it and embrace it and help it and give everything we have to it. The sixth step to really loving God is to learn how God measures our love for him. By the way, everybody doesn't love, say, you know, Brother Myers and I don't know who, but one of us love God more than the other. John and Raul, one of you guys loves God more than the other. Okay, I doubt it. You say, what is the measuring tool, that the yardstick that God uses to measure our love for him? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. That greater is saying there's great, greater and greatest. No greater love than this. John, was that John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The measuring tool, the measuring stick that God uses to see how much we love him is by how much we sacrifice for him. You say, well, how do you sacrifice for him? Same way those Olympic people sacrifice to go to the Olympics. Wake up early, lift their weights, swim like a frog. I mean, you live in the water. Sacrifice. It hurts. Okay? You know, couples, sometimes you get a little spit. Well, you don't love me. What do you mean? You never do anything for me. I bet if your husband woke up and made breakfast for you early in the morning, ironed your clothes for the day, gave you a back rub every day, washed the clothes for you. Guys, I'm not going to feminize you, okay? This is just sort of a fictitious fable story. You know what she'd say? Wow, he does a lot for me. He must what? Love me. Same thing with the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How much have you sacrificed for God? No greater love. God measures our love by our sacrifice for him. Okay, just a few months ago, I've given a couple times this guy that comes to the altar, and he's an intracranial reconstructive surgeon. It sounds like someone's calling someone else. Intracranial reconstructive surgeon. I want to say he went to school like 18 years or something like that. And he gave his career to go to the mission field. You don't have to love God to go to the mission field. But if your love is going to be measured and it's going to grow, you got to sacrifice. What have you done to sacrifice for God this week? By the way, sometimes, and we've been doing a lot of work nights on Tuesday nights, but you know, it might be a sacrifice to show up on Tuesday nights. You say, what is it? It's a sacrifice of my relaxation. It's a sacrifice, okay? Maybe for some of us, tithing is not a sacrifice. Maybe for some it is, okay? God says our love for him is measured by our sacrifice. Number 7, I'm almost done. The steps to really loving God is giving to him what is important to him. By the way, I'm going to dwell more on the last point. You say, well, Pastor, I want my heart to be in it. Realize this. You don't have your heart. You don't need your heart to be anything to love something. But if you give to it, your heart will follow. Okay? One of the reasons some of us in a marriage, we're like, we just don't feel towards each other because you quit giving to each other. The Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Okay? So if you want to love God, and if you want a little feeling, you give first. Say, I'm not going to give any time to God because I don't feel. I used to feel it, but I don't feel it anymore. No. You give, and then the feelings will come. But you give, your heart will follow. Lastly, and to me, this might be the most important. If you really want to love God, you got to get around people that love God. We are creatures of our environment. I mentioned Thursday night. I don't know who's got the shiniest shoes. Charlie, we're tied. Brother Ray, I beat you. I mentioned Thursday night. Get around people that have shinier shoes. You say, what does it do? It either makes you not go with them anymore, or you go home and shine your shoes. And you know what most of us do? Including myself. I like to be in my, you say, where's your comfort zone? My comfort zone is around being around people, whatever it is, around me or lesser. Okay? Okay, health. If I'm around, if we're talking about diet, and this guy's saying I have alfalfa sprouts for breakfast, and, you know, I eat no meats, I eat fish only, and it's broiled fish because that's what Jesus ate, and they're going all on and all that stuff, I don't want to hang out with this guy. Unless I change my diet. Same thing with the Lord. You hang out with people that love God, it'll change your love for God. Probably other than his word. What we want to do, we want to get with people that make us feel comfortable. look, man, if I get around someone who's sloppy in their spiritual life, you know what it makes? Makes me seem like I'm a spiritual giant. I get around somebody that's waking up early and meditating on Scripture and walking with God and has a passion for God and he's serving God and winning people to Christ. You say, what does it do? It does convict me, but it also motivates me to love God more. That's why I like to read the old biographies. I read books of this day, but really the books I like to read are books, by the way, the best thing is by people that are dead. You say, why? At least you know they finished well. Like, you know, I got to go to my bookshelf. Like, all right, I got to take those off the bookshelf. I like these guys that are dead. You say, why? They've started well, they finished well, and they can inspire us. Walk with men. The Bible says it's a principle of association. Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was an Olympic sprinter. For Great Britain. He was a wonderful Christian. Early 20s, I believe it was. By the way, one thing, watching these Olympics, I'm not against watching the Olympics. I can't wait to go home to be with the Lord. I don't want to die today, but it's a mess. Start watching the Olympics, and this one guy, I can't remember, one of the swimmers, you know, his mother said one of his favorite hobbies is one-night stands. Wonderful, and our kids are all praising him. TV ought to be turned off when he's swimming. There used to be a day when we did have some athletes that had one wife, one run around with everybody else's wife. Anyway, let's get back to Eric Liddell. He was a great Christian, and he was a great athlete. He was a sprinter and was one of the fastest sprinters in the world in the 100-meter race. He was going to the Olympics. Actually, he was going, they thought, and usually they know ahead of time that he was going to set the record for 100 meter that year. He was from Wales, be the first person from Wales to get a gold medal. However, he had a conviction. I love this. I don't run on Sundays. He said, I go to church. He found out that his 100-meter race, guess what day it was on? Sunday. He told the world, I'm going to the Olympics, but I'm not running on that day. I'm not asking them to change it. The Wales newspapers, they blasted him. They called him a turncoat. They called him a traitor. They blasted him in the front page of the paper. What is Eric Liddell doing? All he has to do is miss one Sunday church service. He says, no. I love God. I have a conviction. On Sunday, I go to church. I don't care if I'm in another country. I go to church. He said he would not compete in the 100-meter race because he would not be in church. By the way, would be to God that some Christians at Pacific Baptist Church would have that conviction. Well, my cousin's having a birthday party. We'll go after church. Yeah, but I just, you know, Brother Board's going to come here next month. And you say, why do you want to crank him up? Because he's going to tell us about all those people in Cambodia that walk 2 hours to church. They ride their bike an hour and a half to church. Okay? And I know our car breaks down, and I can't get to church. Or, you know, we have a headache. I have a headache like every third day. Okay? We all have headaches. And we, by the way, don't come over here with some contagious disease and, you know, kill us all. But having a sniffle doesn't mean you stay home for church. Okay, and again, I'll probably be in the hospital tomorrow. 24 years, I've not missed one day of work. Never missed church. for sickness. I got stuck in an airport once, but I don't miss church. But he said, I'll not miss church. He said he wouldn't do it. The press blasted him. The Prince of Wales called him in when they found out. The Prince of Wales. They say, who's the Prince of Wales? It's the Wales Prince. They called him in and they said, Eric, we'll facilitate you. We'll do whatever you want. You are going to bring Wales, the first person from Wales, a gold medal. You are the top in your, everybody in the world knows that. He respectfully said, I won't miss church for anything because I love God. He missed it, man. It was like a big scene. Of course, this was almost 100 years ago. Big scene. So he didn't run it. He did run a 400 meter or 440 meter. And they all knew that was not his, it's not really a sprint, sort of a sprint, but they all knew he wasn't good at that. But he ran it anyway. Just before he was to run this 400 meter, and everybody knew he's going to stink, just before he ran the race, someone handed him a piece of paper, ran up, gave it to him, and on the paper it was 1 Samuel 2:30. 1 Samuel 2:30, this is part of it, says, for them that honor me, I will honor. He ran the 400 meter, and he set a world's record. By the way, he held onto that paper while he ran. Those are the type of guys I like to hang out with. You say, what do? They inspire me. They inspire me to love God. They inspire me to sacrifice some. They inspire me to maybe not have pain for pain's sake, but be willing to sacrifice and have some pain to show the God that sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that I can have my sins forgiven and so that I can have an abundant life. So they inspire me to love him more. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.